Championship.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hola, amigos. It is Tuesday, September 21st. Mañana, that means tomorrow. First day of fall. That's right. The equinox. And like legit cool front. I'm going to call it flat out a cold front when you've been hanging out in this heat and humidity. And I know a lot to you folks, unfortunately. Still dealing with loss of power and all of that. So it may be a nice welcome, at least brief relief to what's going on weather-wise. It is absolutely going to be gorgeous, stunning. 60s, 50s for the lows. Thursday, Friday, you'll start feeling the effects. Tomorrow, you can already see the line over in Texas. It's getting here. It's like 50s and 60s over there. This morning, walking Little McQueen, me and the pup were sweating, dude. It was 95% humidity out there. So I'm excited. It's going to start to feel like fall. It's going to, you know, hopefully be better. And as we said, next week's the 29th for you folks over in Lafourche Parish. You know, remember that was that date that Brendan Mathurin a while back said that's probably we're going to start getting a lot more power throughout the parish. So that's next Wednesday. So it's around the corner. I know it's been a long time. It is what it is. It's going to be a bit for a lot of folks to kind of recover and do that. I'm just trying to look at the little positive pieces, piece by piece, day by day to try to, you know, move on and at least get better, by the day. So, today on the show, a normal Tuesday, a full Tuesday, we welcome your phone calls at 800-998-1003. We'd like to chime in. Going to have a couple questions of the day. We'll hear from Jordan, the intern, coming up at 1245 as he is back in class today. Text him this morning. Actually, he texted me this morning. He was walking to class. It wasn't even like 7:30 or something. So we'll hear from him coming up at 1245, some top stories and things of that nature. Coming up this hour, Miss Amy Just covers your New Orleans Saints for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate. She will go over what happened in Carolina and what's coming up this weekend. Mac Jones, the New England Patriots, they are 1-1. Saints are 1-1, so let's see what takes place. Glenn Gilbo coming up at 1230. SEC columnist now over for Outkick. And we'll touch on LSU. Again, Paul Feinbaum yesterday saying, watch out, that seat's going to be super hot if they lose on Sunday. They are favored, by the way, in Starkville, so we'll touch on that with him and some of the other storylines in the SEC. Arkansas, Ole Miss, two teams that looking strong and seeing what they can do coming up this weekend. Big Southwest Classic in Dallas between Arkansas and A&M. What if the Hogs win that game? We'll see how that goes. Ole Miss, by the way, that's coming up, that game that I'm excited about. I don't know. I used to have Ole Miss and Bama. I legitimately am excited about that game. That's next Saturday, CBS Game of the Week, 2:30. Of course, we'll speak with Chip Patterson from CBSSports.com coming up on Thursday. But I am. I'm interested to see that game. I'm not going to lie to you. We'll hear from Eric Alexander coming up at 2:15 each and every week. A member of LSU Game Day live over on CST is going to join us. World champ with the Patriots and national champ, of course, with LSU. We'll touch on little Patriots lore as well. See how he's doing. Or how he thinks that team is doing going into this game. So, one thing that's interesting about Ole Miss, they're off this week. They're off this week. Got an extra week to prep for Nick Saban. The Tide hosting my, oh no. Tide, if you're listening, they host my Southern Miss Golden Eagles. Southern Miss, it's not going to be pretty. I'm just telling you now what that's going to be. So, I mean, you know, good luck. We're looking forward to 2 weeks from now, Southern Miss, up in Tuscaloosa this weekend. So, we'll touch on that on Wednesday, on Tuesdays in that second hour. We like to talk to coaches and, Tim Rebo will join us as they had off last week. The Colonels did. They're back in action this weekend. So we'll talk to Coach Rebo coming up at 1:15 at 1:30. Head Coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave, Frank Selfo, will join us at 1:45, and you hear my conversation that I had this morning with head coach Billy Napier of the Cajuns. They start conference play as well coming up this weekend. So Amy, Glenn, Coach Napier this hour, Coaches Rebo, Fritz, and Selfo next hour, and Eric Alexander in hour number three. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation if you would like to. You can also tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. As yesterday, head coach Sean Payton spoke to local media, 4 o'clock-ish. So it was after our show, but it was after, of course, what he's seen on the tape and his thoughts. So we'll get into that now. And look, I went on WFNC this morning. They're still celebrating. I mean, still drinking the champagne, popping the confetti, and I get it. They're upset that I called it, you know, a victory against the JV team. I mean, it was. I don't want you. I get Alvin Kamara says it didn't matter. I get Sean Payton says those would be excuses. I do understand that. Quan Alexander, Marcus Davenport, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Marshawn Lattimore, just to name a few. I mean, that might have helped on defense, just saying. And I do think they eventually got it corrected. On offense, it communication was an issue. Surprisingly, it was an issue. Whatever the reason, Cesar Ruiz, the rest of the team, Jameis Winston saying, I need to be louder. What, was he not being loud enough? He couldn't hear it. I know, whatever the reason, it didn't work. We'll touch on something that's very interesting I'm seeing on Saints social media and in that universe is, folks kind of going after the receiver thing. And again, look, I brought it up yesterday. I'm not there yet to say that it's a receiver problem, but, Amy might even touch on this next segment too. There's a lot of people touching on, they're not getting separation. Guys, Joe Montana, Tom Brady would have had trouble against the Panthers. Go look at Brian Baldinger's 2 minutes of the Panthers-Saints game. Let's go ahead, look at it on Twitter, scroll it, find it. It was a complete unmitigated disaster protection plan. It wasn't just, you know, Andres Pete getting bowled over, which again happened several times, but it wasn't just him. It was just literally their plays that Baldwinger goes over and Saints offensive linemen are blocking air. The protection plan, sending a tight end 10 yards across to try to block guys that know the system, play well in the system and aggressive. And he touches on some of the things the Saints try to do schematically. They like to go deep and take shots by bootlegging, play action and rolling out to buy some time for those receivers. Problem is Panthers knew that, came off the edge. Winston does the play action to Kamara, turns around, smack. That just, they had a really good game plan. And the Saints got caught. Pants down, however you want to look at it. But they did. So, anyway, that's something that you want to look at. And as something that I brought up yesterday in the show, though, was it's got to be a little concerning for you, for a Saints fan, knowing you're going up against Brian Billet. I mean, Bill Belichick. Good Christmas. Bill Belichick, who, is known for schematically taking away your best players, schematically making your life miserable. He's going to confuse. That's what he does. So Sean Payton was asked yesterday afternoon, does he think other teams are going to attack the weakness?
Oh, listen, absolutely. That's the way the tape is. And so, we've got to be prepared and be able to handle some of those double A gap walk-ups more efficiently, and we've got to be able to handle the communication more effectively, and then relative to our game plan, be able to, you know, make those adjustments and understand ways in which we want to attack that.
All right, so that protection thing, you might think that be something obviously teams are going can look, right? It is what it is. Again, credit Dennis Allen. I do think he figured it out at a while. I was telling, you know, Chris McClain, who came on yesterday, and I was on his show this morning, I was like, look, it felt a lot worse, but it was 17-7 at one point in that game with plenty of time for the Saints to come back and at least tie that game. So they made adjustments. It felt like a beating. It sure was a beating, and it looked like a beating. I get it. But You'd have thought it was 42-3. It was 17-7 with plenty of time in that second half before Winston throws another pick. They get three. They get seven. It's a three-point game with 10 to play. So they fixed it. But, yes, they're going to attack the middle of the field as long as Quan Alexander is gone. I mean, bless Zach Bond's heart. I guess maybe he can get better this week. They can try to do certain things with coverage, those things. But it's going to be difficult. Now, you got to have those players. I don't know if New England per se has that tight end, has those running backs like a Christian McCaffrey, right? But they absolutely attack the middle of the field. You have to mention that they will this week. And in offensive side, it's going to be that protection issue. They're going to try to confuse it. Prove to us your communication's gotten better. Coach, on how the protection knowledge is going.
How does that kind of
work? No, listen, it's the group in its entirety. You know, it's our offensive line. It's our quarterback. You know, it's us also relative to a game plan of, you know, having good answers versus some of the looks we got. And quite honestly, you know, once we struggled to handle a look or two, we just got more of it. So, you know, we've got to have a better plan. I said that after the game, and that starts with me. We've got to have a better plan to put our guys in a better position. But it's not one group.
All right. So they're going to work on that this week. There's no doubt. But again, it's something that's been on fire and saying social media this morning. Wide receivers, are they getting separation? Are they getting open? Look, I mean, three catches from Marquez Callaway. Would you like to see more? Look, and again, it's one of the reasons I thought this was going, it was going to be an interesting start, to say the least, and one that could be difficult at times. You're asking certain players to all of a sudden be things that they're not, and it's a step up. It's a step up from a preseason game to facing J.R. Alexander, to facing J.C. Horn. I mean, it's a step up. Now, I'm not saying that he can't. Again, Jameis Winston didn't have time to throw on a lot of those. So there was a lot of confusion all the way around. But here's Coach's response on if the receivers are creating enough separation.
Well, I don't know that the separation was more of a problem than having a chance to set and be protected. You know, there were too many times free rusher, too many times where our communication wasn't on point. And so I wouldn't look at that as a one or the first thing.
All right. And look, again, I sort of feel like it's not nearly as much of an issue. I mean, they were getting separation against Green Bay. Winston was hitting players left and right, tight ends, receivers, running backs. I particularly don't feel that it's that issue, at least yet. I don't. Now, again, maybe we'll bring in Drew Swindon this week and see, is Marquez Callaway getting separate? How are they covering them? Again, I told you this, and you saw it with the Panthers. Until Saints receivers start getting 5, 6, 7 balls, close to 100 yards, Alvin Kamara is going to see bodies everywhere around him. We are shadowing him. We are punishing him. We are hitting him. He gets out the backfield. We're going to have two people on him. He touches the ball. I want hats around him. I mean, Alvin Kamara is not going to beat you. That's just, it's not going to happen. At least that's how I would approach it as a defensive coordinator. And it's not a disrespectful thing. It's just, you got to prove it to me. You got to prove that Jameis can read. The defenses, you got to prove that the offensive line is going to protect. You got to do all those different things. Sean Payton, overall, what alarmed him the day after watching the video?
Well, I think, look, the number one area was in protection. Offensively, our communication and being able to handle some of the pressure looks that we got from Carolina. And, you know, that there were just a number of things that we need to clean up. That would be the one thing that stood out. Secondly, you know, the big pass plays we limited fairly well, and yet we allowed a lot of run after catch. So, you know, the yards receiving for Carolina after the catch was something that stood out. We didn't tackle as well in space as we had the week before. Overall in the kicking game, I thought we were solid there. You know, we had a blocked field goal. And, you know, we covered well, I thought. But offensively, there was really no rhythm there, and that's something that, you know, we'll spend a lot of time on this week.
All right, says head coach Sean Payton, and we'll hear more from him as to what he thought looking at it. Demario Davis also chiming in, and Malcolm Roach. So we'll hear from all of that and more coming up on the show. Up next, it's Miss Amy Just. She'll give us her thoughts and takes of what it was like to actually sit there in Charlotte and watch this game. And don't forget, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL is DraftKings. Go download the app. Do it. It's real simple. It's real easy. Then when you do that, use the code LAROSE if you want to shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. It's safe, secure, and reliable, DraftKings. The best part is you can deposit and withdraw that cash whenever you want. Want cash? Free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes? The DraftKings app. Put the code in LAROSE and you're off on running. Miss Amy Justice next on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home strong.
Whether you need to store one pallet or 10,000, Brown Eagle can help. We offer low-cost pallet storage and full-service fulfillment solutions. We also provide comprehensive value-added services like sorting, kitting, picking, packaging, labeling, shipping, and light assembly. For immediate pallet storage, contact Brown Eagle, Louisiana-owned and operated for nearly 50 years. Call us at 225-769-1111. Or visit browneagle.com today.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Rouse's Markets and their amazing team members have been helping our Bayou friends and neighbors and communities all over South Louisiana with food, water, ice, and donations since Hurricane Ida hit. Even as some of those Rouse's Markets team members are putting their own lives back together, they are taking care of our communities because that is what Rouse's Markets does every single day. Neighbors helping neighbors. Just one more reason that Rouse's Markets feels like home.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It's a lot of football to play, but, I mean, we take responsibility. We got to come out better. We got to be better. We got to, I mean, to win. Nobody likes losing.
Indeed. Amy Just joins us to cover the New Orleans Saints for the Picayune and the Advocate at Amy_Just. Good afternoon, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Back in Texas for another week. Day 26, but we're making it. We're making
That's
it.
That's unbelievable. You actually gave me a number there. You know, I've said this on a couple of other shows, including mine. I know players say, look, it's an excuse or this, and we're going to get into if you thought not having coaches there and not having the players mattered, because I do think it does. But at the same time, this is what, week five, huh, that this team has gone. I mean, they left the day after the storm, you know, before the storm hit, so that Monday to now, it's been 5 weeks. That does weigh on you. I know we like to travel every now and then and hit a hotel room, but, Amy, it weighs on you, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, like the second week of the evacuation, like the first or second day that they practiced at TCU instead of AT&T Stadium, we talked to Alvin Kamara and, you know, we asked him about it and he's like, this is great. It's super nice that they're doing this for us, but I want to go home. And he's right. I want to go home. They want to go home. Everybody wants to go home. And I think that being in Texas has only kind of exacerbated some of the problems. again, they don't want excuses, but Texas is a COVID hotspot. You know, Florida is a COVID hotspot, and I think being in Texas probably added to the situation that the team faced last week. And, I mean, some of the media, too. I had COVID last week, too. So it just, yeah, it's been a long road, and thankfully it's almost over in terms of getting back home and, you know, getting into a schedule that makes sense. But, yeah, no, they don't want to point fingers at anything. But I think there's something to be said for a terrible offensive performance when half of your offensive coaches weren't available to coach.
Amy, look, the obvious here, the Captain Obvious statement is we've all been to games. We've all seen it. And we all, even when we're not there watching on a television screen, and you'll normally see a player walk off to the sidelines, they go sit in their little part of the bench, a circle of chairs, what have you. And there's always a individual with a headset. I mean, Jen Hale before the game, the style reporter for Fox, is saying that Sean Payton's administrative assistant is helping upstairs coach in the box. You have Ian Book working substitutions. You are asking people to do things that people are hired as professionals in the top at that position. D coordinators, line coaches, you know, receivers coach. Like, that is their profession, and they're one of the best to do it, which is why they're doing it in the NFL. That matters when you take that away. I like to think I can call plays, Amy. But Madden and an NFL Sunday is two completely different things.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. They did what they could, but, I mean, you watched that game. We all watched that game. And sometimes doing what you can is not a passing grade. And they know that. And back to the drawing board. Hopefully, more of the Saints coaches can be back next week. But yeah, it's hard to get worse than that, especially when they played so well in week one, right? It's not like they played like crap in week one, too.
Right.
No, they played great then.
When you look at some of the things, though, that is sort of puzzling, look, I can look at some of the players that were not available on Sunday, and you can see easily, okay, I can explain why Carolina attacked the middle of the field. Bless Zach Bond's heart. He's not Quan Alexander. You can see that. You don't have Chauncey. That speed athleticism would have helped in covering Christian McCaffrey. And we can get into that in a quick second, because I think eventually Dennis Allen shorted up, and, you know, it was 17-7. It felt like 42-7, but they had a shot there when he often scored a touchdown. But explain the communication issues, because Cesar Ruiz did that last week, right? Why was it so different from week one to week two from the offensive line?
So, yeah, I think that they didn't have their main offensive line coach most of the week. They got him back for the game, obviously. But, again, no excuses. But I think that Carolina's packages that they use is just way more nuanced than Green Bay was giving them last week. I think that there's a lot more wrinkles that they added, and Sean even said that, you know, but they saw it on tape. They saw it on tape. They studied for it, and it still didn't come out. I rewatched a little bit of the game yesterday, just because I had, you know, trying to move hotels and all of that stuff.
Right.
There was one play in particular where Caesar wasn't blocking anyone, and Teron had three defenders coming at him. That's not a recipe for success.
No.
I think you need to work on communication. But also, Caesar's first game with opposing fans. Like, it's hard to think about that because he's been in the league now for 2 years, but there were no fans last year.
True.
So, and it was a pretty loud venue. You know, give it to Carolina's fans. They definitely brought it, and then some. There were times where I couldn't hear myself think, and I was in a press box with, you know, windows. So, I think that has something to do with it too. But again, no excuses. You have to be better prepared than that. And Sean and everyone else on that team will tell you the same thing.
So, Amy, as you move forward here, look, here's Belichick. I mean, this guy, this staff, this team, they're known for taking your best player away, doing those things. It was interesting that Sean Payton was asked yesterday afternoon about receiver separation. It seems like Saints Twitter is on that right now. Look, Marquez Callaway has three receptions. And until the Saints show that they're going to spread the ball around, which, Amy, they did against Green Bay, but to my point, with the receiver position, teams are just not going to let Alvin Kamara beat them. And I think that's what you're seeing. Hands and heads, you know, and helmets all over around wherever Kamara is going to be. What do you think of the receiver position? I'm not ready to blame them right now because again, we came off of a game where offensively it looked stunning. So I'm not ready to go there, but what are your thoughts about the fact that Callaway has just three receptions?
My thoughts are that there's a couple things that go into it. Jameis had very little time in the pocket all game Sunday. And it's a domino effect. When the offensive line isn't holding up and is missing protection, giving Jameis 1 to 2 seconds to get the ball out, where is it going? Right? You know, it's going to be incomplete or, you know, he's going to have to throw it to the first read. You know, he doesn't have all day like he had last week where, you know, he was sitting in the pocket for 6-7 seconds sometimes. It was amazing. So I think that has something to do with the receivers not catching any passes because no one else caught passes the other day either. So I'm with you in that I'm not going to, you know, light it on fire just yet. But I do think the group's relative inexperience outside of Chris Hogan matters too. So we'll see how all of that kind of plays together here in week three. But yeah, like you've said, Bill Belichick, he's been around forever. You know, he knows what he's doing. And I'm interested to see how the Saints shore some things up.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see what kind of tricks they'll throw out there in disguise and different coverage. What are the bright aspects of it, though? You did see two new Saints play their first game in that jersey. And, look, Peyton Turner got a sack. I know there was a penalty there. Bradley Roby got a sack. What did you think, if you can kind of recall their play? I mean, it wasn't that much bright to look at that game. But, look, you saw a reason why I think there's some people that were excited about what you saw early in training camp before Peyton Turner got hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Peyton Turner looks really good in training camp. He has to clean some things up, right? But, again, mm-hmm. It was his first game. You know, he was a healthy scratch last week, and then he was thrown into a relatively big role with both Marcus Davenport and Tanner Pathenew out. So, I mean, he did his job, but you can't rely on, you know, two people, three people on the defense. You know, DeMario Davis had like 12 tackles or something ridiculous. And then, you know, Bradley Roby, and he didn't play all 100% of the snaps. But, you know, he rotated a little bit with Trufant. But, I mean, so far so good there. I mean, he's only been with the team a week. So, technically 2 weeks, but again, he was suspended for that first week, so he couldn't practice or anything. But so far so good there. Hopefully, though, Marshawn comes back. And some of the defensive woes can be fixed. And you saw that, you know, they really missed a lot of guys. Some they won't get back for a while, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Marshawn Lattimore could come back this week, maybe. They're not on IR, so there is hope that it's short-term.
Yeah, I'm afraid of Fridays now, Amy. I'm afraid of the late dump of, Kwan and Marcus Davenport are in what? IR? It's like you wait for Fridays, Saturdays now and with a little trepidation as to who got put on IR. It's really incredible the adversity they're facing to start the season. With that, let's wrap up with you, Amy. What do you expect here coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know, honestly. I think a lot of it depends on if and how many coaches they do get back, because it didn't work last week. They tried their best. I'm sure they did, but it just, when you're down that many coaches, it's an issue. And then do Marshawn and CJ practice? Or are they out another week? That I think will be a really big factor as well. And the key to the game, other than those things, right, is they have to fix their protection. Mm-hmm. They have to. They have to. I'm sure they're going to focus on it all week. They have both of their offensive line coaches back this week, so that will help. But against Bill Belichick, you have to be on your A game. You can't show up like you did last week. It'll be even worse.
Zach Wilson got picked off four times against the Patriots. Obviously, he's a rookie QB. Rushing, though, 152 for them. So we'll see how it is. It's interesting. When you look at Mac Jones, just one TD on the season this year, but he did get a win. So rookie QB against the Saints, D, and against Belichick and against the Saints offense and their protection. Amy, let's see what happens on Sunday. We talk on Tuesdays. Thank you for your time, as always.
Thank you. Hopefully I'll be back home sometime next week.
I hope you are. I'm sure you miss home. At Amy_just, the way to follow her on Twitter. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Glenn Gilbo next.
He ain't coming back.
Farm offers surprisingly great rates on auto insurance. But what does that mean? Surprising. This often means something comes out of nowhere, like finding that $20 bill in your dryer. Great? Well, obviously great means superior. Rates? Simply what one pays in exchange for something. And in this case, that something is State Farm being there when you need them most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios in Cutoff.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dashboard light problems? We can help. Our free Fix Finder service can read your check engine light, ABS light, and service indicator light, and give you possible solutions, verified by licensed technicians. You'll even get detailed results sent straight to your email so you have them when you need it most. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free Fix Finder service, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
More details at AutoZone.com.
O'Reilly. It's O Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you can earn double, triple, even up to five times O Rewards points on select purchases. Get bonus points on more than 200 items throughout the store, like wiper blades, fuel system cleaners, motor oil, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you finally ready to sell that motorcycle or ATV that is just collecting dust in your garage? Harley, Honda, Polaris, Yamaha, or anything like it? RumbleOn.com will pay you cash today. And in minutes, you have a real cash offer. We will pay you cash before we pick it up. No more strangers coming to your house from a listing site. Use promo code RADIO for an extra $300 on your cash offer. Get your cash offer today. RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, welcome back. It's the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. We'll see the intern is up to next hour. Head coach Billy Napier, my conversation with him coming up next segment. We talk a little SEC football, though, with Mr. Glenn Gilbo at LSU Beat Tweet on Twitter. May have to change that, though, Glenn, to at SEC Beat Tweet, sir. Congratulations. SEC columnist now over at Outkick.com. Congrats, man.
Thanks. I'm in the process of getting that changed, but appreciate it.
So, look, we're going to have you on and talk not only about the Tigers, but obviously the SEC. Some interesting storylines, and it's something that you posted for the game this weekend coming up, the Southwest Classic. I do Arkansas Game Day on CST, so I did seasons where they didn't win anything, much less SEC games. It was rough to try to do an hour TV pregame show when things were going that way. Different coaches, coordinators, athletic directors, they were blaming me. for all of that. There has been a ton of turmoil. I guess if you don't follow the Hogs, Glenn, you can't really put into perspective what Sam Pittman's done in a year and two games here to change the culture over there. It was bad.
Well, there's no question. And that win over Texas, that was something else. They just dominated him. And Arkansas has been pretty bad years. They were 3-7 last year. Pretty good beat LSU, really. They were much better than that 3-7 record. So they were in a lot of games. And he's just a pure coach. They made some mistakes and some hires, and it's taken them a while. But you definitely can't call that an automatic win for LSU yet, like you used to be able to. That's going to be a tough game for A&M as well.
Speaking of A&M, obviously they lost their starting quarterback and then got a nice performance, last week from his replacement. But at the same time, Glenn, there's a lot of expectations this year, right? You go back to SEC Media Days and Jimbo kind of having a little fun with Coach Saban. What's the feeling in College Station moving forward right now early on in the season after facing some big adversity?
Jimbo is first and foremost a quarterback coach, and you can just see that in that game. It was not against a worthy opponent, but he's going to have his quarterbacks ready to play, and he's dealt with that before. He's lost starters at Florida State early in the season and got people ready to play. He's just really good at that. And the tough thing is they might not be, they were kind of really expected to challenge Alabama this year in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that quarterback change, if that's still going to exist. We'll find out this Saturday. I think they are, but then they host Alabama in a couple of weeks. So that could be a huge game, especially after what Jimbo said on the speaking tour during the summer, where he was saying, he said, Saban's got to come to him.
Well, before that happens, what I find interesting is there's an SEC team off this week. It's Ole Miss. Tulane got an up-close-and-personal look as to why Glenn Gilbo, Matt Corral is the Heisman candidate. Right now he's the favorite by Vegas to win it right now. 7 touchdowns, 4 in a gown in the air. They just look different this year. They look a little different. Look, obviously, you can talk about the defense and stuff, but if you're going to beat Bama, you're going to have to score, right? You go back to that LSU game when they beat them in Tuscaloosa. They have to be able to put up points. I think they're capable of doing that. Now, the game is in Tuscaloosa next Saturday, but Ole Miss is off this week, Glenn. They can heal up. They can rest up. They can game plan. And Alabama's got to play. Now, granted, it's my Southern Miss Golden Eagles. It's basically a bye, but you get the point. They're off this week. What do you think of the Rebels?
Ole Miss really gave Alabama its toughest game last year. He was matching them score for score until the very end, and had a chance to win that game. And he's got a little better defense this year at Ole Miss. That is going to be a very difficult game for Alabama, considering the way Dan Mullen is play calling until the 2-point conversion. He had Alabama running every which way. Alabama players had their hands on their knees, their defensive players, late in that game. They even got tired in the second quarter, Coach Saban said. So if Mullen can do that, I think Lane Kiffin can do that as well. So that is going to be, and I'll be in Tuscaloosa for that game a week Saturday. That's going to be a good one. And usually Alabama tends to lose when they do lose a regular season game, they tend to lose it early. They mm-hmm. lost Ole Miss twice back to back several years ago. So this could be the one.
Glenn, up the road here, obviously the Tigers. Look, Paul Feinbaum, I played a soundbite yesterday, which he said on Sunday morning, that this game was going to be very interesting when it came to Ed Orgeron and how hot that seat will be. Do you think that seat is that hot? I know they won the last two, but how many eyes, I guess the biggest pair of eyes, will be on really how he starts and how they do in SEC play here to start Mississippi State and Auburn, the first two?
Oh, I think the seed is very hot because of the loss to UCLA, and then they really played worse against McNeese than they did against UCLA. Now, they did finally look better this past week in Central Michigan, but if he loses to Mississippi State, I mean, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. I mean, not that week, but just looking down the rest of the season, because if he's coming off a loss to Mississippi State, then he's got Auburn and Florida with Kentucky in between. You know, he could get off to a horrid start. But you know, Mississippi State got beat by Memphis last week. Mike Reese doesn't look like he's you know, setting the world on fire either. So if LSU can get past this team, then they have Auburn at home, and Auburn had one of Baton Rouge like 99. Auburn could have won the Penn State game. I mean, Auburn's a very good team. And, you know, if they can somehow get past Auburn, then they could survive a loss to Florida. But, you know, they would have Kentucky, I think. And, you know, Kentucky's no slouch either. That's the thing. You can't look at LSU's schedule and say anything that's an automatic win other than Indiana Monroe.
Yeah, I look, there's a lot of got to prove it stills, and losing Andre Anthony over there, who, you know, had a you know, fumble recovery for a touchdown, it doesn't help you for sure when you start getting into SEC play. I think it's interesting too to kind of look at what you see in the SEC East. I know Florida, Dan Mullen said, look, you have to win that game. That's a game you got to win. There's no moral victories. What do you think of Georgia, man? They're number two now in the country. Bama's one. I mean, this is essentially the SEC championship meeting for the last couple of years. Do you see anything different from Kirby Smart's team this year to make you think that they can win the SEC and win a national title?
Well, you know, actually, you know, at first that win over Clemson looked really good, but Clemson looks like they're having a lot of offensive problems.
Right.
And Kirby is still kind of clinging to the old ways with his offense somewhat. So from what I've seen right now, I would put Florida ahead of Georgia at this point. But you got several teams that you could say are going to be challenging to Alabama right now. And I would say those are Florida, Georgia, Texas A&M, and depending on how the rest of the season goes, maybe even you know, Auburn or Arkansas.
Yeah, so we'll see, I guess, how these games shape up and pair out this weekend, Glenn, as we take a look at some of those contests. As we mentioned, Missouri taking on Boston College, Georgia State, Auburn, Tennessee, and Florida. Is that still a game there that had that kind of rivalry like they did before? I mean, look, the Vols are 2-0. I mean, 2-1. How good do you think they can be in Florida coming off of that loss? Do you think they are right for the picking here, or is Tennessee going to lose?
No, I think Florida's going to win that game easily. Tennessee still has a long way to go. That rivalry is not quite the same as it was, because, you know, same thing that's happened in the Tennessee-Alabama series. Tennessee has just been one of the worst teams in the league for several years. So that is not quite the national game it was, and it won't be anything like the Florida-Alabama game last week. But Tennessee lost to Pitt. Pitt got beat after that. But, you know, the powers in the SEC right now, it looks like Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Texas A&M, maybe Auburn, maybe Arkansas.
All right. Well, there it is, your power rankings over the SEC for the new SEC columnist over there at eHowlKick.com. No, I like it. I'm with you. I think, look, Bama is Bama. Georgia's number two, and there's some other teams, though, in the West that I'm interested to see how they play because of their physical style, or they can score with Ole Miss and Arkansas. So it might be a little bit more exciting than I thought it would be, I guess. But at the end of the day, I don't know. Did you hear the Nick Saban reckoning quote? It's my favorite thing I've ever heard.
Which one?
So this was Sunday. I'll play it for you. This was Sunday, and you know, he was okay for a bit, and then he got into, you know what, maybe his team's not hearing the message, so use this analogy.
You know, when I was growing up, I worked for my dad. So every day at dinner, he would do that to the table. and there was a reckoning, for everything that you were supposed to do that day. So if you're supposed to cut the grass, did you sweep the walk? Did you trim? Did you put the mower away? Did you clean the mower? And if you didn't do any of those things right, you're going to do it again.
I mean, it made me uncomfortable listening to that. Can you imagine that household, that reckoning? I mean, you heard the poor Coca-Cola top go flying when he hit that podium, Glenn.
He said that a week ago. And yeah. I heard that quote.
Glenn, there it is. It's all about.
I'd like to bet it's bad. It's bad. Sounds like you can come through.
Something else for sure, man. Appreciate the time for joining us, man. Hopefully we'll talk weekly at LSU Beach Read for now. But it's Mr. Glenn Gilbo. He's an SEC columnist now over at Outkick.com. Congrats, man, and thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you, guys.
For sure. My conversation with head coach Billy Napier of the UL Raging Cajuns. You'll hear that next on ESPN New Orleans. She had the whole show, and that's a natural
fact. Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Now that Hurricane Ida is over, Lowe's is helping pros like you move our community forward. Our pro team is here for your pro team with necessities from generators to cleaning supplies. And our dedicated pro loaders will help get you on your way fast. Being here for our community when you need us most is who we've always been and who will always be. Go to your nearest Lowe's or get supplies 24/7 at Lowe's.com. While supplies last, U.S. only.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Buddy just told me my ear what I'm seeing on social media. West Bank Houdat posting a picture here as well. And Fox 8 has a live stream at it. They're located right on the interstate right there. The Superdome is on fire. Let me clarify. The portion of the upper deck right there on the rim, I guess if it makes sense, where it used to say Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So you have the dome itself, then the rim, that upper bowl where they were cleaning it. If you've been driving past it, you've seen part of it looks like, you know, you're putting white paint on it before you actually paint over it again and put the new logo on it. Right where that lip is. There's a small fire, and I guess the best way to look at it would be like, imagine like it would be a dumpster. So it's probably paint, chemicals, something of that nature. So you're going to hear the dome is on fire. The part of the building that is, it's the very lip, and it looks like it's something that has that. It's not like the entire structure is, the smoke's not billowing out of the gates. Where the fire is, you can see the flames. And the dark smoke billowing is on that little lip part, basically kind of facing lot 4 in the arena, somewhere around there. That'd be the best way to describe it. I mean, it's substantial. Obviously, any time that there's a fire in a building, it's important. You don't want that to grow. Now, there's workers in this video that are by it. So, obviously, they were cleaning it. They were painting it. They're doing stuff to it when this fire broke out. So, there are people up there. Now, I got to imagine there's some sort of protocol on how to get water up there. I wonder if there's something that has that water there or not. But again, we'll see how that goes. But we'll keep you posted on that. But right now, if you're driving around, you see dark smoke billowing from the dome. Yes, there is a fire on the rim, on the roof of the Superdome that is happening right now. So we will keep you posted on the very latest on what's going on. Hopefully they get that under control briefly here. Because, again, the Saints are scheduled to host the Giants here in 2 weeks. Take on the Patriots this week, and then October 3rd, next Sunday, Giants-Saints in the Caesars Superdome. Earlier this morning, I had a chance to have my conversation with head coach Billy Napier of the Raging Cajuns. Every Tuesday, I'll have that for you here this time on the show.
All right, joined now by head coach of the Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier. You can follow him over on Twitter at Raging Cajuns FB and RagingCajuns.com online. Coach, first off, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gus, man. I appreciate you covering our team.
Well, I know one thing that you're happy about, a nice victory. I know it was a midweek game. I know it was strange. We talked last time about having to do that. You're going to see that a couple of times on your schedule this year. But I guess all in all, you have to be happy with the win, 49-14. And you got the victory.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed with our staff. I thought our staff did a terrific job. You know, five-day turnaround, those could be a challenge. But I thought our staff really stepped up, not only, you know, kind of getting the plan together in a condensed week, but also felt like just from a leadership standpoint, their input into getting our players in the right frame of mind. You know, I thought that we had played average football the first 2 weeks of the season, and it was good to see us kind of finally put some things together. We definitely took some steps forward.
How difficult is it, Coach, if you can take us behind the curtain a little bit, how difficult is it to come back from a win, kind of, you know, look at what you did in that victory before, you know, the game against Ohio on Thursday, and then get back to practice, make sure everybody's healthy, and still get the work in, knowing that, you know, in a game of football, Coach, you do have to get ready, and that's physically as much as it is mentally, though.
Yeah, you know, Gus, we had one of these 5-day turnarounds 2 years ago. We spent a lot of time in the offseason really researching what that looks like. You know, we talked to a lot of NFL organizations. You know, it's pretty common for that to happen in the NFL. So, you know, just communicate with a lot of our friends in that league, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of how they put together their week, how they allocate their time. We did do some work on Ohio the first couple days right after training camp ended before we turned the page to Texas. So, you know, kind of put that plan together, put it on the shelf, and pulled it out. We just did a few more walkthroughs rather than practices. But it is a challenge, and certainly one that we'll have to do again later this year when we book for the state.
That makes a lot of sense there. Well, obviously when the game kicks off, Coach, you got some pretty outstanding performances. I guess you got to start with Montrell Johnson, recognized by the conference this week as well with his effort, the true freshman. He had himself a day, didn't he? 13 carries, 84 yards, but not one, not two, not three, but four touchdowns for him.
Yeah, no, I thought overall the whole running back group really played kind of like I expected, you know, just observing them throughout the offseason and in training camp. We put it together. You know, I think offensively it takes precision to run the ball. You know, you've got to get really good play up front. Everybody always wants to talk about the offensive line, but you know, you got to have good play on the edges by the tight end. The quarterback's got to make really good decisions and get you in the right place. And then you got to block the perimeter at receiver. So, you know, we offensively took a step forward in the run game. That's a little bit more like what we want to be around here. Mm-hmm. And man, Montrell Johnson, what an incredible, some unbelievable individual efforts, you know, and then also to be a freshman. You know, just to see his maturity, he's extremely bright. He's got a great attitude. He's a good teammate. And he's got great practice habits. So far, so good with Montrell. I think we're kind of seeing him grow up here right in front of our eyes.
Is that one of those things as well, Coach? that as the season goes on, as you see efforts like that too, perhaps gives you all a little more confidence as well. Not that you didn't, but when players kind of do that, to maybe call different plays, to kind of go to the well as much, because, you know, Levi Lewis has continued to perform for you as well. But, man, every quarterback definitely would love to have a running back or a run game to complement them, no doubt.
Yeah, you've got to have balance. I think in this game nowadays, you've got to have the ability to rush the ball. But at the same time, I think you always, you know, you're going to have to throw it to be explosive, to create issues for the opponent. You know, we've worked hard in evaluating and recruiting. I really think we've got a really good group of skill players when you combine our, you know, running back, receiver, tight end to go along with the quarterback. So I'm hopeful that we can continue to be balanced, you know, and feature the players that we have. You know, I think that we're kind of figuring out who we can be, you know, and we're trying to do what our players can do well. But, in general, you know, when you're a quarterback, it always helps when you can, when your team can rush the ball.
Speak with head coach Billy Napier of the Raging Cajuns, and give him a follow on Twitter, Raging Cajuns FB. Coach, we touched on Levi Lewis being consistent, and look, he goes out and performs this past game, 200 yards, but also throws another touchdown, and it's interesting reading in the game notes. So what's that? That's his 21st straight game of doing that. Is that more difficult than it sort of sounds? I know sometimes we get caught in records, and obviously here in New Orleans, we followed Breeze, consecutive games, this and that, but I guess that just speaks of consistency, huh? For 21 straight games that he finds a way to get the ball in the end zone through the air.
Well, it's a great way to describe Levi Lewis, man. He's a consistent person. You know, I think most importantly, his character, you know, I mean, just the type of man that he is. He's a great teammate and a great example. I think that his success is a product of his work ethic. He's got a lot of self-discipline in how he goes about his life. You know, he's extremely diligent in his preparation, not only in the meeting room, but also in practice. So, he's a great example for the other players in our team, and one that, you know, he's even made me better. He's a guy that I've got a lot of respect for. So, no surprise to me, that he continues to have success.
Well, I definitely don't want to shortchange the other side of the football, because when you win 49-14, coach, that means the defense had some plays as well. Who stood out to you on that side of the line?
Well, overall, I thought we, you know, we had some guys really step up. We played without Zion Hill and Farrakh Gardner. You know, so we needed some players in the front and, in the linebacker room to really step up. So, you know, some players that haven't played much, in the past really perform well. You know, Mason Narcisse, Jaquan Nelson, Sonny Hazard, just to name a couple that were able to get into the game a little bit more, as a result of Zion being out. You know, Jordan Quibbadeau, Chris Moncrief played more plays because of Farrakh's absence. And then, you know, I think our players of the game were A.J. Washington, Cam Solomon, Andre Jones. But in general, you know, we were much better, communication. We had less mental errors. I thought we played with better fundamentals overall. We tackled better. And, you know, in the second half, we made really good adjustments. I think we held them to less than 100 yards in the second half.
Do you like that kind of performance on the defensive side?
Well, we gave up 14 points. You know, one of them
yeah,
was
exactly.
Kind of a trick, and the other was, you know, one of the only plays they made the entire second half was just a deep ball up the sideline, a great throw and catch. So, you know, we've got an expectation and a standard here. We played really good defense. We were 18th in the country 2 years ago, 25th last year. And I think as the season goes here, we continue to improve. You know, we'll prove to be one of the better defensive teams at our level of football.
Mm-hmm. Bring that up, Coach, because your matchup this weekend is Georgia Southern. You know what's coming, right? It was a 2-point win a year ago, but they're going to run 70%. They like to run the football. So discipline and being ready for that, even though sometimes you know what's coming, you got to kind of be mentally prepared to know that you're going to be constantly having to tackle and play a team that likes to run that football and then tries to slip it up over the top, huh?
I think it's a great point, Gus. You know, when you play these option teams, when the quarterback is a threat, You know, you got to be gap sound, right? So they're going to challenge your fundamentals at the point of attack. You got to have really good eye discipline on the edges. You got to be assignment sound. And then when the ball declares on the perimeter, you got to tackle well in space. So it is a challenge, you know, and I think that when you combine that with their ability to play action and then all of a sudden the guys behind you can be difficult. So we're in the middle of that prep now as we speak, but, it is a critical week. I think one of the things that gets overlooked is your ability to simulate that in practice, right? So, our look squads and job takers this week have got to do a terrific job, all the people in charge of those areas. So, anytime you play Georgia Southern, it's going to be a very competitive game. And certainly when you got to go to Statesboro and play in Paulson Stadium, you're going to have to pack a lunch. So
that is head coach Billy Napier saying you got to pack the lunch when you go up there and take on Georgia Southern. Each and every Tuesday, you'll hear my conversation with him. That brings a wrap to hour number one. Hour